Welcome to our podcast by BusinessExpansionSpecialist.com. Your hosts are Abe Gershonowicz and Keith Legg. Our podcast is about business know-how for business expansion and performance.
Here we are, here in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Today, this episode is about hiring and all the different aspects that are key and important about hiring, but not just hiring. But then what do you do once you hire? We're going to cover various points that are very key in hiring and then what you do thereafter. And I'm going to turn this over right now, right at the beginning, over to Dr. Abe, and he's going to give you some insights on what he experienced on this subject over the years and maybe even what he experienced today and yesterday. So here we go. Doc.
So I do a lot of hiring of dentists, and since I've been doing it, there's certain things I really look for in the individual, certain aspects, or let's call them qualities that the individual has. So I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about those particular qualities and just give you some ideas of what I actually am observing. The first thing is when I meet somebody, I just look them in the eye and shake their hand and find out, do they show the same response? Do they show some kind of awareness that there's somebody there, or do they shy away, or do they sort of ignore me, or are they interested in facing me? Can they actually look at me? Because those are very, very important, because what do you do when you have a patient? What do you do when you're talking to staff? You're looking at them. You're talking to them. You want to make sure you get their attention. That's important. I mean, let's say they don't have that ability, then I don't know if they're going to get other people's attention, especially if they're a dentist and they need to get the attention of the patient, or for that matter, attention of some staff. How do they respond? So I look at that. Do they show attention? In other words, are they willing to look at me? Next, I'll start talking to them and ask them some questions. See how they respond. Can they respond decisively, quickly, without too much thinking? That's important, because if they do that, I know this person is on top of their game. They're there. I have good feelings about that individual. So that's also real important. I'll talk to them about their past and find out what they've done and find out a little bit about them. And I'm looking for a concept called intention. Can they really make something happen? Well, I start talking to this one dentist. He's from another country, and he told me about all the things he had to do to become a dentist in this country, and all the things coming over here, coming here by himself. Everything required a lot of his intention, his intending to actually get to the promised land, getting a license as a dentist. That's a heavy quality, and I really look at that. And the guy was, when he was talking about it, he was smiling, he was feeling good about himself. So it's a great indicator that the person has that type of quality. Another one would be, can he understand me? I say something to him, does it make sense? Can he duplicate me? In other words, hey, I'm talking about football. You got to kick that ball with, say, your toe. True or not true? The guy says, oh, yeah, I get it. Or playing basketball. You know, how do you shoot the ball? Do you shoot it over your head? Do you shoot it from the front? Things like that. And then we talk and we can get into an agreement. Yeah, we shoot it from this angle or that angle, whatever. But the point is, can he duplicate me? Does he understand me? Does it make sense to me what he's saying? The thing that I really look for, more than anything else, is he real slow about talking about things? Does he seem like he's somewhere else? Even though he could be a great dentist, but when he's somewhere else, it's a problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. You're talking to him, you don't know if he heard you. So you don't know if you'll ever be in communication with the guy. You're just not sure. I've had people like that. They're difficult. They're no fun. So even though the guy was a fantastic dentist, it's just something was missing. He was being able to do dentistry, but he wasn't able to be with you and talk to you, and just didn't seem like he was there. Not a fun thing. Not good for employment, no matter what post in the organization. But anyways, that gives you some ideas of who you're talking to and do they have these particular qualities. I guess you would call these soft skills, and there's tons of other soft skills, but these are some of the basic ones. Keith, go ahead.
When you're hiring these doctors, This is after you've gone through resumes and picked out the ones you think are going to turn out to be good, and then you have them come in. Do you do pre-testing on them before you have them come in and spend the time? Because that's your time, and your time is valuable.
We don't do pre-testing, which I think would be very advantageous for a lot of your individual staff members. Doctors, I think that would really be important, some pre-testing. But what I do is I look at that resume, and what I'm really looking for more than anything else, can this person do? In other words, can they perform their procedures? Because they went to school for dentistry. Mm-hmm. So they should have the skill to do procedures. Without them having those skills, that makes it very, very difficult when they come into practice where there's procedures that are coming their way, but they can't do it. They have to send them somewhere else. So I look at what they can do. Now, some people are just real bright, real capable, but they never got the opportunity to learn in dental school how to do certain procedures, or they did some, but didn't have enough experience. So what you end up doing with someone like that is, okay, they don't have the confidence yet to go back and do you work with them. That's apprenticing them or even showing them a little training routine and just show them some technique until they get comfortable with that. And then when they finally have a patient, then you sit with them and you walk them through the root canal. After they do two or three, it's basically the same thing. What you want to do at that point is make sure that they don't do anything that's very difficult or complicated. You don't want them to lose their confidence. Just keep growing their confidence that they can do something like this. Those are some of the things to handle.
Part of the onboarding.
Yes, practice. Definitely part of onboarding. You know, we have a bunch of new guys coming in to our group, and I got to sit down with each one and make sure that I'm putting in my time with them so I feel that I've done them a service. Because most of these young guys coming out of school are looking for mentorship. There's real important to them, so they even know that they don't know enough. The more mentorship they get, the quicker they get it, the more effective they become. So I'm going to spend my time with them.
Yeah, important.
Yes.
Having that leadership. Here's a guy, he's a number of years through school, very focused on getting that school. He's had his mentor, his professor, and now he's coming out to the real practical application of what he studied, putting it into practice, and now working with somebody who's out there doing it in the real world. And the more effective you are at mentoring them and also yourself applying what they've learned and keeping yourself up to speed on the new procedures, etc., the better a mentor you can be. And if you are successful at it, oh my gosh. It's like an ideal scene for these young guys. It's like, wow.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. And this concept we're talking about is applicable to all businesses, to be honest with you. It just, there isn't a business that doesn't go through the same routine. You know, they learn something. A banker he has to go through all kinds of learning the basics, checkbooks, whatever they have to do. And then they move on to loans, and then they move on to something larger, you know, maybe Goldman Sachs, do they deal with other countries, bonds. So there's all that learning and how something actually gets done. And someone needs to be there with you to do the mentoring. Without that mentoring, you just don't get the same product from the individual, and you end up with more trouble than it's worth. So mentoring is vital. So anyone who doesn't want to mentor their new staff is only asking for trouble. And the trouble comes later down the road when the patients aren't happy, or they leave, or the staff isn't happy with the doctor, or the doctor's not happy with the staff. So all could be avoided with the correct onboarding and apprenticing.
Mentoring, a very key aspect. I'm going to take the example of a home builder. I've been there, worked with them. Let's take a person who starts out as a carpenter, and he's real good. He went to school, or he learned as an apprentice. He became a journeyman. He became his own man. Now he's a contractor, and he builds things for people, and then he moves from there to building homes, building houses. And initially, in getting the company going, he's in there with his nail guns and putting the studs up, or hiring. He hires people, the roofers and the framers, all these different people. But he's learning all the way along. Next thing you know, he's finishing a house, and people like his work. People want him to build more homes, so he has to hire other people to do what he's doing. The best anyone can do as they're moving from actually doing the work and moving into the position of mentoring others the best they can do is do a job description of their actual successes. You know, they become your policy for the company on what you have done in order to make things fast and efficient, but very high quality. You want to write those things up. Those are your successes. Like for a home builder, for a dentist, for any kind of business, any kind. So you're writing these up. You're creating this job description for that specific aspect of building the house. Next thing you know, you're hiring another builder. And what do? You have him go over the job description and not just like you said, here, have a look at this. Do you understand it? Oh, yeah. I've been there. Yeah, I've built houses. Okay. So what we're going to do next, so you've gone over that. We're going to go over here in the warehouse and we're going to actually build what we're talking about here in that job description. That aspect of that house, you're going to come over here and show me how you would do it. That's part of training. They actually do practical exercises. I know of some brothers who are home builders, and they were very successful working together and building homes. And today, they build not just one or two. They buy plots of land and then build a bunch of homes. But their homes sell very quickly. They're built to the most modern standards. But in their facility, before somebody gets out into the field to build homes, they do training. And they do training on every aspect that a home gets built under. Their guys may hire subcontractors, but their subcontractors have to follow the same kind of procedures, like on a checklist, and they agree beforehand. They're going to follow these same standards, and they are checked before they're passed on finishing that aspect of the home. And these guys, their homes are such high quality and in such high demand, before they're finished, their group of homes, they're sold. And then they look for another area, buy a plot of land, and they're just going gangbusters. Because they hire people, and they use soft skills on who they hire, and then they train them, apprentice them, and then when they're in the field, they monitor them with statistics. So every aspect of their company, they are running with very skilled management systems. And boy, are they successful. So yeah, hiring, training, apprenticing, very key.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I just was talking to our treasurer at our business, and I was explaining to her that it really takes great checklists of each particular position in our organization for a manager to be able to check all those checklists off for each position, you know, like a scheduler or a receptionist. And she looked at me and says, I got a checklist for all the people in my treasury department, so I check them off. I said, that's why you're successful. But then somebody over them would actually be checking over the individual office manager's checklist, making sure that the individual, let's say the checklist for a regional manager, might be, well, how's the statistics of this particular organization doing? Is it going up, going down? How's their new patients? Or are there new people? Is the collections good? After you check all that out, all right, so if you see something that's a standard, let's say the standard is a target of a particular amount, and it's not meeting that standard, you can call the person up and you can have a conversation, find out what is actually going on. You don't have to go chasing them down and drive over there to check it out, but you can do it over phone. But that requires a little bit of know-how. You had to know how an office manager operated because you had to experience it. You know, I'm just talking about a larger organization. This is how it's done. When you bring it down to one organization, it's the same thing. You got to have a checklist of each position. And the manager has to know what's going on. And this all comes about right from the beginning, hiring the right people, onboarding them correctly, apprenticing them correctly. And if you do all that, your life's a lot easier running that business. It's when the business isn't running well, you just know you have to go back to basics. And that is, what don't they know? Correct what they don't know and apprentice them and get them going on the right track. And if they do that, you get a much more successful individual working for you and a better manager who knows what she actually knows or he knows what to do, begins to know what to do in all types of circumstances when something's not going right, like staff's not standing around. Why are you standing around? It must be something. Instead of just noticing it, just talk to the person. So what should you do? Well, I should do this. Okay, how come you're not? Well, I didn't think I was supposed to. Well, maybe they're not trained. They're not apprenticed. They're not cross-trained, so they don't know something. You see what I'm saying? These are types of things I run into on a daily basis.
In your different offices, now I know you use the organizing board. Mm-hmm. Are those boards familiar to the staff in the different offices you have?
Very good. So I looked at the one particular business I'm in right now. I didn't see it, so it's not real apparent, but I use it because I have to know who I'm missing. The most important thing is, let's say I'm not even in that business and the business is not doing extremely well. If I have an organizing board of that group and know all the people they have there, I can see what position is omitted. That's the first thing I would be looking at. And if that person's omitted, in other words, they're not there, I know that that business is struggling. So that's something a regional manager should be able to spot. That's the most important thing. Who's there, who's not there? And those individuals that aren't there need to be found. And here we go again, training and apprenticing. And then all of a sudden that business changes. So, yeah.
Having a good management system to bring people in on and ensure that people know it themselves, the organizing board, the organizational system being used in the business. For example, if somebody isn't there that should be there, maybe they're gone for the day, gone for a week, they're on 2-week vacation, 3 weeks. Somebody has to cover. A good employee will ensure in the organization before they leave for a vacation, they will ensure that other people will take their different aspects of their job. Maybe it's too much for one person to take because they have their job as well, but they'll work it out with the management. It's not just up to the management to replace them. That employee is responsible. And if they know the other people in the organization, they can work with management to have the other people hold their position. So while they're gone, things don't drop. Things don't droop the stats, but they go on just like as if they weren't missing, just like they were there, because their hat is covered by other individuals who are, as we say, cross-trained, know enough about the job where they can jump in, or because there is a job description, the person can be gone over the aspect they're going to cover before the person that's leaving for vacation leaves, and they can go over with this individual who's going to cover that aspect and role play with them a bit. Drill them, a mini apprenticeship, if you like, and get them doing a few calls if they have to call clients or patients. Make sure they put a smile on their face when they're on the phone. But they really do the job as if the person who's very successful doing it has been doing it, and nobody misses a beat. It's just taken care of well.
Something along that line. I know businesses that could immediately double all the way up to 10x their business if they understood this one concept. It's a real simple concept. You're basically talking about it. So if a manager does leave, and if they don't have their second in line, they got a problem. There's always some good people there, but you need a leader, another leader. So if one leader leaves, where's your other leader that people look up to, trust, and can really manage the business really well while the original manager is gone? That's the key. If you have one additional, you can certainly do pretty well. But what I did years ago is I had a large office and I didn't have one. I think I had 5 or 6 potential managers that could take over. It was just a matter of just training people up.
Never stopping,
because I've always wanted them to do better. And they would look at me and I would say, guess what? We got a new office for you. It's your turn now.
Really?
And they were excited. Because the whole point of them taking upon all that responsibility was to take more control over something they wanted that would be theirs.
And they had the knowledge.
Yeah.
By getting the knowledge, getting the experience, being apprenticed all the while, and them not maybe knowing they were going to take over
right.
a new office. Yeah, that must have been real exciting for them.
It's like a new mama, you know? Oh, Mama's got a new baby, so to speak. And she's taken over, or he's got something to take over, something that belongs to him, that it's his product. Those are fantastic opportunities for people. But if you're a businessman and you're not expanding, what you're doing really, in many ways, you're keeping your business at a certain level. You got to do something in that business to grow it or do something to get people excited. But this is one way to get people excited, to give them this opportunity of advancement. And by doing that, boy, you have a different business. People will actually appreciate, in other words, get the business that way.
Much different from the frustrated CEO, the person that created the business. He's there In the beginning, with sleeves rolled up, and he's just in there doing his thing and creating this business. He doesn't know it yet. He's going to have a big business, but he wants to grow the business. He wants to expand this business and make it so he can step back, take a breath, and it's going to run. So you get the manager. He moves up to managing others. What he does, and he thinks this is how it is. He can do it well. He's done it. He's been in there. He's built the home. He knows how it's done. He's a doctor. He knows how to do dentistry or landscaper. He knows how it's done. Instead of training and apprenticing people, doing it in a very well-mannered way so that people don't feel broken down when they're trying to learn something, or the manager says, hey, you know what? Let me just do it. And they jump in instead of training somebody and learning how to train, how to communicate to people. They just jump in and do it themselves and leave the person sitting there kind of going, oh, not feeling well. Look at that difference, too. When you groom somebody well, bring them up, and you say, okay, guess what? Mm-hmm. We have another office in this other territory, virgin territory we're opening, and you're going to be the one running that. I know you can do it. And they go, oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, what incentive occurs at that point? Their willingness goes up dramatically. And there's another quality, willingness.
Mm-hmm.
Another quality that you have to look for, are they really willing to take on a role for you? Because if they're not willing, oops.
We haven't mentioned, but hiring for happiness. No matter what your business is, you want happiness in that. You want your team to be that way. They're team members. They work together. If you have a team where they're fighting each other, that ain't a fun place to be. You want it to be fun, even if it's hard work. But hiring for happiness, people have different levels of happiness inherent within themselves. How upbeat are they? When you hire somebody, anybody coming in to do an interview in person is going to have their interview face on or their interview mask on. When you hire and you understand about happiness and where people really, truly are in front of you and can learn how to see through the mask, I'm looking to see who is this person. That's all.
Like, when did you get your last haircut?
Yes, that's a question I ask. If I'm ever in the interview process and I ask you that, don't worry. It won't hurt. But some of the responses I've heard are quite interesting. Just from when did you last get your haircut? Anyway, off the wall question. But it helps to really see who that person is. There's a company that we now use and recommend to our clients called Hirebox.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have testing you can do for people before they ever come in for an interview. And basically, the pre-testing is really a happiness test. It really gets in there, and the person can do it online. You can send it to them. They answer it pretty quick, 15 minutes or so. They immediately get a response, and you get a response back on what the responses as to how they answer the questions. And they're pretty good tests. And they really tell you, I think, they really give you a clue as to where this person sits on the happiness scale. So I would recommend everybody use them. Part of hiring is you have to know certain, today you have to know certain rules and government regulations on what you can do, what you can't do, what you can say, what you can't say, and things change very regularly, year to year. This is 2024, and we're past the halfway mark, and the regulations by the end of the year will probably be quite substantially different. But you have to be aware of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC. We may have to do another episode on hiring. This whole area is just such a key fundamental area and a broad one. So if you do listen and you want more information, want us to go over other aspects, the Hirebox system, you can look them up, hirebox.com, and get more information. You can get free trials on doing pretests. Also onboarding, they have whole systems to, guess what, train you. What we're all about, training people. They train you how to do all these things, not just use their systems. They will train your HR people on a systematic approach to doing a very proper onboarding, hiring from the beginning, screening, hiring, and so on. You'll do well with them. That's it for this episode, Abe. Any final words?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyed this. And looking forward to the next one.
See you later.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast for more business expansion know-how tips coming your way. If you really enjoyed this podcast, please share it with friends or colleagues who you think would enjoy it. To obtain the transcript of this podcast and more, go to our website at www.businessexpansionspecialist.com.